the J-Talk Podcast.
Yosh.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. Ben Maxwell and Sam Robson with you. And Sam, this is one of our favourite episodes every year to record. Really looking forward to piecing together our J1 team of the half season.
Yeah, I always look forward to this one, especially if we get Johnny on. He obviously knows a lot about every one of these players, and it's great to get the interaction with the Patreon supporters. The polls were very interesting. I mean, there were very few of our selections, actually, that got no votes, so that was always good. It makes me think, okay, we might have done an okay job with our shortlist. But yeah, it'd be really interesting to look forward to talking through them all.
Yes, indeed. And so then, without any further ado, let's welcome on our guest, although it's probably better to describe him as part of the furniture on the J-Talk Podcast Network these days, a very familiar voice and one we always love hearing from. Johnny Nicol, welcome back to the pod, and how are you?
I'm doing very good, Ben. Thanks very much for the big build-up. It's like Sam said, it's always good to be on for one of these best 11 pods, and it's actually quite frankly a bit scary how quickly the years passed since last year we're debating Yamani and Salomonsson and Ryotaro Araki and the like. So I'm looking forward to getting into that and all the other stuff we've got lined up for tonight.
Brilliant stuff. All right then. So yes, before we jump into the meat and potatoes of this episode, and that is, yes, piecing together our J1 team of the half season, the not so insignificant event of Japan playing Brazil at the National Stadium in Tokyo has happened earlier tonight, Monday. Both nations were coming off emphatic wins the previous Thursday, Japan beating Paraguay 4-1 at the Sapporo Dome, while Brazil went one better, thumping South Korea 5-1 in Seoul. And, well, a fascinating 90 minutes of football, Sam, ultimately decided in Brazil's favour by a pretty debatable, to put it mildly, penalty 15 minutes from time that Neymar dispatched. I'm looking forward to piecing together our team. I'm looking forward to chatting to both of you about this game as well, because there was a lot to take from it from a Japanese perspective, I think.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Obviously, I think it was the best friendly they could have arranged in terms of preparing for the likes of Germany and Spain at the World Cup. Brazil, obviously ranked number one in the world. They've got so many good players. They were going to have a lot of the ball. And it was just to see how Japan could stand up to that. And were they able to then go on the attack as well and create chances against this Brazilian side? I thought they worked really hard throughout the game. I thought the midfield pressed quite well and the front line did. Occasionally Brazil would play through them because they're just that good a team, but I think they did cause some errors in that sense. I think just defensively was they breached that midfield. It was a little bit deer in the headlights at times, but they just battled really hard. They put in so many key blocks. I thought Itakura did very well in that respect. Shuichi Gonda, as we've mentioned a few times, we've not been particularly high on him as Japan's number one goalkeeper, but he had a very good game. So in that respect, I thought Japan played fairly well. I just think, how are they going to score against these sides? I think they didn't really get the ball quick enough forward to, when you're playing for Ohashi and Ito, I think you need to go over the top a little bit more. So they didn't really cause Brazil too many problems. But on the whole, I thought it was a fairly positive performance, and it was never a penalty. So we'll take 0-0.
Yes, indeed. So, just sweeping aside the fact that Brazil hit the post inside the first 2 minutes, Johnny, I thought Japan were on a similar level to Brazil in the first 15 minutes, and then towards the end of the game after the penalty, it was just that that period in between where I felt that Japan were hanging on at times. But that's obviously to be expected, as Sam said, Brazil are the best team in the world, and we were treated to the full Neymar experience. There's no question about that. Every punter who rocked up to the National Stadium tonight definitely got their money's worth in the Neymar frame of things. He was rolling around on the floor. He was shooting from distance. He was getting under the Japanese player's skin, barking at the referee, this, that, and the other. But the overall performance then from Japan, from your perspective, having watched the game tonight.
Yeah, I think I'd echo everything Sam said about just the sheer quality, especially in the attacking third. The substitutes Brazil were bringing on, it's just out of this world. Even like, you know, Spain and Germany would definitely fancy themselves against Brazil, but you know, Brazil are number one in the world for a reason. And as Sam said, that was the best challenge they could have given themselves, because as we know, Brazil have to go through 18 tough qualifiers to get to the World Cup. The European teams have basically done away with friendlies with the UEFA Nations League. So they're playing intense games, like 6, 7, 8 intense games every year. Whereas still in Asia, we're lagging behind a bit, especially for the high quality teams like Japan. So if they want to get away from being a team that sort of goes out in the first round every second tournament, gets to the last 16 every second one, they need to play more of this kind of game. Fair play to Brazil. I know Neymar, he's very much the Yuma Suzuki of world football, or Yuma Suzuki's the Neymar of Japanese football, whichever way you like to put it. But you know, if you don't turn up once in a Brazilian jersey, your position's under threat. So the intensity those guys played with tonight is a real eye-opener for Japan. And I agree with what Sam said. I thought Itakura and Gonda were the two I put down that got the best pass marks. Wataru Endo, I think I agree with Sam. There's a lot of good like closing down in midfield. I don't know if it was him exactly, but he seemed to be exposed a bit when the other two more advanced midfielders would press forward. He was caught out, and especially because he picked up that yellow card relatively early, that kind of hamstrung him a bit when Japan were caught in the counter-attack when Brazil were pressing. But yeah, it's against Brazil. Japan wouldn't be expected to beat Brazil. Most teams in the world wouldn't be expected to beat Brazil. So it's what they can learn from this. And also, like you mentioned, Ben, they've played Paraguay. This is the second of four games. It's very rare that a national coach gets his players together for such a long period of time outside a major tournament. So getting the players gelling off the field and on it, getting new players like Hiroki Ito involved. I know he didn't play tonight. Ayase Ueda, guys at that training with their teammates. I think, yeah, disappointing result. I agree with Sam, not a penalty. I'd like to see that when Mitoma went down in the box at the end, because I'm a bit more raw tonight because the game just finished less than an hour ago. What I actually said was, if that was Neymar, not Mitoma going down, it would have been a penalty, but we'll have to see about that. But yeah, I'd be mostly positive. I know you watched the game as well, Ben. What did you make about it?
Yeah, I tell you what, Johnny, I would have loved to have seen a replay of the Mitoma penalty incident, because I don't think we saw one at all, did we? When he was later brought down by Militao, we saw three different angles. But yeah, I don't think the actual the penalty shout, I don't remember seeing a decent replay of that. So yeah, I wouldn't mind checking that out myself. Overall, we've got to be careful of damning them with faint praise. But I mean, at the end of the day, they've basically held Brazil to a 0-0 draw, and they were hanging on. But yeah, every team is going to suffer against Brazil for not only short stretches, but large periods of the game. And the way that Japan were able to weather a storm, especially in the last 10 or 15 minutes of the first half, I thought was very impressive. And yes, Gonda has certainly had his detractors, but that was a terrific reaction save to deny Neymar just before the half hour with that blast through traffic. Itakura was terrific, that running battle with Neymar. I certainly hope he's got Neymar's kit off him in the dressing room, because he certainly deserves that as a souvenir of his night's work. And it was interesting to watch Endo, because I know Sam is a huge rat for him, especially in a Japan kit. And I guess you could probably understand that towards the end of the game, his legs must have just have been about ready to drop off, because the amount of work he'd put himself through. But yeah, just a couple of times he got caught in possession where, obviously his mind's telling him his legs to do something, but his legs just weren't quite able to fulfill the orders from upstairs. So it was, I think, a really important test for him as well, because we know he is established as the defensive midfielder for Japan. But again, yeah, he doesn't come up against opponents like this at most international breaks. So I'm sure he will take a lot away from that game as well. But ultimately, Sam, I think there is plenty for Mr. Moriyasu to react positively to when he gets his squad properly sat down, probably tomorrow, to really dissect this game. But yeah, ultimately, they weren't able to hurt Brazil at all, were they? And you know, obviously have a soft spot for Takumi Minamino. He was largely anonymous and really frustrating. Although maybe Celtic fans are quite pleased that Kyogo Furuhashi didn't get to too much attention tonight, because if he had really turned it on, you never know, that might have put him in some, in inverted commas, bigger club's shop window. But yeah, Japan just, they weren't not effective enough in working the ball up the pitch, and it wasn't really able to stick up there, was it?
No, not really. Just going back to the Endo point just quickly, I think this highlights how important Hidemasa Morita is into that midfield, because he is the one that will give that defensive support, because he was playing alongside Tanaka, whose first thought is really to go forward, and Haraguchi is a converted winger, and again, his first thought is to go forward. So it wasn't quite as solid as a team as Japan have been able to put out when Morita is alongside Endo. So I think that would really help him out, and hopefully Morita is then fit for maybe a couple of games later this month, and then for the World Cup. But yeah, the attack didn't really click, I don't think. The way that he plays with this three-man midfield, I don't think it suits Kyogo Furuhashi playing as the centre-forward, because he's always looking to go beyond the defender and make those key runs. But really, there's such a chasm between the striker and the midfield. It really does suit Osako in there. I know a lot of people are not really in favour of Osako playing in that position, but I do think it's that sort of striker that is needed if they're going to play that way. They're not going to have too much of the ball against Brazil and then Spain and Germany. So yeah, I think Osako is maybe slightly better to Furuhashi, and Furuhashi might be a really good option off the bench if when you're chasing a game or you need a goal. And then I agree with you with Minamino. I think it's much better as a number 10. And just, I think he's just being wedged into this team as a left winger. And really, again, you're not having much possession. The areas to attack Brazil tonight, and then those two teams, as I mentioned, is going to be those full-back positions. And I think you've got that with Ito on one side. And I think if you put a Mitoma, if you put a Maeda out on that left-hand side, that's where Japan are able to exploit gaps. And Minamino just isn't able to do that. He's not got the pace, and he's always looking to come inside, which is where these teams are going to be strong, and he's going to be caught out. So, yeah, I think over the course of the next couple of games, try out those other wingers. And I think that's the way to go. But, I mean, he's favoured Minamino for the entirety of qualification, so I'm not going to hold my breath. But I think something definitely needs to change, because, yes, they hung into a game, but they're going to have to try and beat one of Germany or Spain to get through. And there weren't many signs tonight that they were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, Mitoma just keeps banging the door down, doesn't he? I mean, I think most of us can see, as willing a worker as Minamino is, I mean, yeah, Mitoma just seems far better suited to this system that Moriyasu seems to want to employ. And just as an aside, this game is another indication of how far away Takefusa Kubo is, isn't it? Because I mean, he's just turned 21, and the next big thing, who's been the next big thing for the last 4 or 5 years, just doesn't look like he's ever going to get a chance to become a regular under Moriyasu, because again, he's not even gotten on the pitch tonight. He didn't feature against did he come on against Paraguay? I can't remember. If he did, then he didn't really do anything to set himself apart. And it's Mitoma surely has to be worked into this team as a starter, because as I say, Minamino is a willing worker, but just doesn't seem to suit this system.
Before I have a go at Moriyasu, I'll stick up from slightly, and I'll say that being a coach of a popular national sports team is maybe it's a little bit like being prime minister or president, isn't it? It doesn't matter who you are or what you do, you're going to upset someone. So at least he's better to fail by doing what he thinks is best rather than what others are telling him to do. But I do agree with what you've both said with Minamino out on the left. And maybe what's more frustrating is that Japan actually went into a kind of 4-2-3-1 towards the end. And even the starting 11 they had out today, surely Endo and Tanaka playing alongside each other with Haraguchi on the left, Minamino as a number 10, surely that would have worked better from the beginning of the game. I agree, Mitoma was a breath of fresh air when he came on, albeit Japan were behind for most of that time, so Brazil were naturally sitting back a bit. It did get a bit much, let's just pass to Mitoma and have him run at the Militão on the right, so there was a bit of a lack of invention there, but Yeah, I agree with you, sir, what you said about Kubo. If he's not going to come on in this kind of situation, you've got Doan and Mitoma, Kamada have all come on similar positions. He's way down the pecking order. And another sort of Moriyasu favourite, Shibasaki, came on towards the end. And like we've all said, I think Endo was crying out for a rest. And without Morita there, there was no one to give him a rest. So, I mean, even if they could have, I know Itakura was having a great game at centre-back, if they could have brought on, say, a Taniguchi at centre-back and put Itakura in there, that Endo really needed a rest, and he can't play all the four games. So hopefully in one of these next two games that they look at alternatives if Endo can't play or if Endo is running on fumes, because as we know, at a World Cup, you're going to have to play at least three games in a very short space of time, and you don't really have much chance to rotate. So it'll be interesting to see. He's not going to change too much. We know that before the World Cup, but it is interesting to see what limited rotations and changes we do see.
Yes, indeed. So, 1-0 to Brazil. It finished, and fair play to the Brazilians for coming over at the end of the European season and turning it on in South Korea last Thursday, and then again a very strong team they put out tonight, and they certainly didn't hold back at all. They were up for a battle. They were up for a scrap. And, assisted by the referee, a penalty decision that I'm sure he would like to have back. Although, you would think VAR might have had a word to him. But it's ended 1-0 to Brazil. And Neymar has scored his 9th goal in 5 meetings against Japan. And as I said, anybody who went along to check out Neymar certainly got their money's worth on Monday night. Okay, well, we'll just ever so briefly mention then the win for Japan against Paraguay last Thursday night up at the Sapporo Dome. It was a game notable for the debut in a samurai blue shirt of Hiroki Ito, and he displayed his versatility playing at left back in the first half and then switching to centre back in the second 45 minutes. Also, Mr. Moriyasu went for Daniel Schmidt in goal, and he certainly didn't do his long-term national team prospects any harm at all, I would suggest. The goals for Japan came from Takuma Asano 9 minutes before halftime, and then Daichi Kamada was credited with the second 6 minutes later, although for me that probably should have gone down as an own goal, as his header appeared to be going off target but went in off the goalkeeper. So perhaps that was a J-League goal there for Kamada, where elsewhere in the world it would have been an own goal. The Paraguayans made it to 2-1 in the 59th minute when Derlis Fernandez scored after a poor pass out of defence by Ito, but just a minute later, ice-cool Kaoru Mitoma restored Japan's two-goal advantage by making it 3-1. Ritsu Doan had a penalty saved 20 minutes from time, but Ao Tanaka wrapped up the scoring with 5 minutes to go. And, Sam, Paraguay didn't have anything to play for here because they haven't qualified for the World Cup. But, South American opposition and Japan were very impressive last Thursday night.
Yeah, I thought they played well. It was nice and refreshing to see a Japan team actually go out and score goals after what we sat through for most of qualifying with those kind of turgid games. And yeah, I thought they played well. Mitoma obviously was very good. Doan, I thought, bar the penalty, he played very well. And Haraguchi played his way into the team tonight with his performance in central midfield. So yeah, very good performance from them. Brazil game was a better test for them because obviously Paraguay, they struggled through South American qualifying. They've come here, travelled a long way, nothing really to build for. So they're not going to be the most competitive game they can. They're a reasonable team, but I think Japan would have gone into that game expecting to win, and they did. Yeah, they played very well to do so. It was nice to see Ito make his debut. He had a fantastic season at Stuttgart. Didn't really put a foot wrong. So yeah, I thought there were a lot of positives, and they were able to play a few different players and get them a bit more experience at this level, which was good to see. But I don't know. I can't take too much, I don't think, from that game, to be completely honest.
No, fair enough then. All right. So I think, Shuichi Gonda surprised a few people tonight, Johnny, who were maybe counting down the days for him to lose the number one shirt for Japan. But yeah, Daniel Schmidt did quite well last Thursday night. Where do you see the long term destination of the number one kit for Japan? Do you think Mr. Moriyasu will stick with Gonda as his inverted commas number one for as long as he's in charge, or does Schmidt have a realistic chance of supplanting him? Do you think?
I think there's no doubt, unless there's some sort of injury or something that takes Gonda out of contention for the team, that Gonda will play the big friendlies before the tournament, and he will play all the games at the World Cup. Schmidt's obviously done himself no harm after the World Cup. Whether Moriyasu is still there or not after the World Cup, we don't know. It's very difficult to say, but I think what we can say is that Schmidt is in a good place after the World Cup. Interesting as well that Keisuke Osako was in the squad, because I mean, he started the season as backup to Hayashi at Hiroshima, but he's come in and he's obviously, whenever I've seen Hiroshima play, he's not actually had a whole lot to do, but he's caught Mr. Moriyasu's eye at some points, and I think we might talk about this a bit later as well. Kosei Tani's standards have slipped maybe just a touch at Shonan. So those two, and also as Zion Suzuki at Urawa, have always kind of been picked out as the three to watch going forward. And Suzuki's involved with, I think it's Japan under 23 at the moment, whereas Osaka's with the main team and Tani's completely out in the cold. So there are plenty of decent young goalkeepers coming through. They obviously do tend to peak a bit later than the outfield players. So Yeah, there's plenty to look forward to going forward, I think, in that area.
Most definitely. All right, then. So, yeah, there's a couple more games for the Samurai Blue for us to look forward to over the next week or so. Japan faced Ghana on Friday night in Kobe, and then next Tuesday we'll face either Chile or Tunisia in Osaka to wrap up this long national team break. As Johnny mentioned, it's unusual for national team coach to have his squad at his disposal for such a lengthy period of time. So the previously mentioned Takefusa Kubo will certainly hope to get a start against Ghana on Friday. And if he doesn't, I suggest he probably better just pack his bags and fly back to Spain, because there's hardly any point for him sticking around in Mr. Moriyasu's squads if he's not going to get a game in what, I don't know whether it's properly correct to call it the third 11 for Japan on Friday night, but you'd imagine most of the players who featured tonight will get a spell from the start against Ghana, and then whether some of them are introduced later on, we'll wait and see. All right, so that's our brief look back then at the two internationals that Japan have played in the last few days. Let's move on then to begin to chat about our team of the half season, and we'll begin to do that by looking back on last year's version, gentlemen. Harry mentioned that in our Patreon only line group, that he mentioned that Yoshio Koizumi was one of the maybe out of left field selections in that 11 at the halfway point of last season, but Koizumi has certainly dealt with a number of injuries both in the second half of last season and his 2022 campaign has been seriously disrupted. In fact, of the 11 we chose at the halfway point of last season, none of them were even nominated for our 2022 team of the half season. Of course, there's a couple of caveats, and some of them have since departed over to Europe. But if your memory needs refreshing, listeners, we went for Park Il-gyu of Tosu in goal. Everyone's favorite right back, Emil Salomonsen from Fukuoka. Jeziel Eduardo and Yutaka Yoshida rounded out the defensive line. Then we had Koizumi, Sho Inagaki, and Ao Tanaka in midfield, with a front three, a very fearsome-looking front three of Daizen Maeda, Leandro Damião, and Kaoru Mitoma. Of course, Tanaka, Maeda, and Mitoma have all since departed the J-League. It's interesting time capsule, isn't it, Sam, to look back and the fact that none of those ones that have stayed in the J-League were even nominated this time around. I guess it just goes to show the evenness and the unpredictability of the league.
Oh, it absolutely does. We've got lots of different teams and kind of featured this year, and we see the main one I can take from last year is the demise of Nagoya as a defensive force, because Yoshida for whatever reason, has barely played this season. Once they moved to a left wing back, and Shoin Agaki, who I thought was one of the best players in the entire league last season, it's just not really worked for him either. And there's some very interesting picks there. And it's good that a lot of them have kind of moved on to Europe, so we weren't completely out of it with that. But it's a really diverse selection, and you look at how that's changed inside a year. It's just how it's just kind of encapsulates the J League, because it's an ever-changing thing, because we lose so many players each year, and then new players come on through university, and you get those that burst on the scene. It kind of highlights just how interesting the league is.
Yeah, most definitely. So, in fact, the goalkeepers from our team of the half season, that was Park, and our best 11 for the 2021 campaign goalkeeper was Mitch Langerak. And Langerak didn't make our short list of five either, Johnny. Of course, if you're not a JTalk patron, then you don't know our shortlist, because all of these were voted on by our patrons. And I don't know, Johnny, I think in a number of positions we're just going to be doing some rubber stamping, aren't we, because our patrons were very emphatic in a number of the poll results. And we're kicking off between the sticks, and Masaaki Murakami has absolutely walked this. He got to 70% of the 17 votes cast. Unfortunately, Jun Sung Ryong and Kwon Sun Tae had no takers. The previously mentioned Keisuke Osako got 2 votes, and Yohei Takaoka from Yokohama F. Marinos got 3. But this is a redemption story for the ages for Murakami, after Sam wrote his death knell as a professional footballer basically at the start of last season, Johnny. But Murakami is flicking Sam the V's. He's absolutely loving life at the moment.
Yeah, there's some people, if you look up them up on Wikipedia or Transfer Market or in the Mekan, then it's just got like, this player is going to be a success right from the beginning. Like, they've been in an academy, or they've been Aomori Yamada, and then whatever university, and then straight into the first team playing from the start. Murakami is none of that. It's like on the bench in J2. There's no famous background. And then I think he was back up when they were in J2, because I think they had Cervantes was the Spanish goalkeeper, and he sort of mysteriously left after being first choice for most of the promotion season. And Sam was quite right. There was doubts over Murakami at the start of last season. Like, who is this guy that's hardly played in J2? And if my mind doesn't fail me, I think it was against Shimizu away. He had a pretty horrible game at the start of last season, possibly a 2-2. And I think he got away with dropping the ball at someone's feet. It should have been 3-2. And I think that was the game Sam was having a go at him about. And he looked like they're going to have to send a new goalkeeper. But since then, I don't know if he's a fan. Is he a secret patron maybe? And he was great last season. And this season again, Fukuoka, I think 10 goals conceded is the best in the league. But you know, anyone who reads my blog knows I put a stat or two in there, and I've kind of been going through the whole league. And Fukuoka do have the best, like, in terms of goals conceded, best defence, but their kind of expected goals in terms of like chances created against them is actually a good bit higher. So they've had to rely on Murakami to keep them in games, especially as their attack, like the big signing Lukian's not really done it. And the other players like Juanma Delgado and Yamagishi, I think, have played quite well, but they're not going to get you too many goals. So he's got a solid back line in front of him, and those two kind of holding midfielders with Maye as well in front. But he's made a good few saves. And I think, as we've said, that there's very few of these people got like zero votes. Obviously, Kwon and Jung both got it here. But as a whole, the league is much harder to call, because like last year, you had Kawasaki with the best team. You had a few teams at the bottom. This year, you've got three teams that are a bit better than the others, but they're still all prone to losses and losses of form. And probably even from Kyoto down in ninth, no one's anywhere close to being safe from the drop, albeit at a very early stage. So, it's a bit tough to pick someone out, but Murakami's really, really stood out for me. What about you, Sam? I mean, you've obviously been converted to a Murakami fan, or is there someone else in that? I know you went for Kwon, and I wasn't quite as big a fan of Kwon. What did you think of the five we chose here?
Well, now I've just recovered from being knocked to the floor by both of you with him. Murakami taunts from last season. I did go with Murakami. I'll answer Kwon first, because I did put him in the shortlist. I think some of the defense, like obviously the defensive record, you look at Avispa, they've only conceded 10. Obviously there's an instant pick there, and Kashima have conceded 21, but I mean it's a much more open defense in front of him. I think he's bailed out that defense on a number of occasions and made some very crucial saves. But yeah, no vote, so that's fair. But I did vote for Murakami. I have turned the corner on him. He has played very well for the last a season and a half at least. I think it maybe took his time to get used to it, but as you say, he was a substitute in J2, so yeah, he had to get thrown in at the deep end, and if he has become a very good goalkeeper. Yeah, there is a very good defence in front of him, but as you say, he has had to make crucial saves. He's very commanding of his area. I think he's just an all-round very good goalkeeper, and fair play to him. I'm happy to be wrong. I have to be, because I'm wrong so many times, so that's good. But I think it should have been slightly closer, I think. I thought Takeoka has played very well this season, in a similar manner to Kwon, in that Marinos are a bit more open at the back. I mean, for him to have only conceded 17 goals, and some of the saves that he's made this season, I think, have been very good. They're a key reason why Marinos are currently top of the table, because so much has changed in front of him with that back line that's very rarely the same from game to game, and a lot of players like Eduardo not really settling well. I think Takeoka has done well in behind them, so I'm glad he got some of the votes. I would have had it slightly closer, but yeah, I've got no arguments with Murakami as the first choice in that poll. Ben, were you in the same boat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a clean sweep, I think, from the three of us. Yeah, the stats obviously weigh heavily in Murakami's favour, as you both mentioned. Yeah, only 10 goals conceded through 16 games, and 8 clean sheets. A testament to the entire defence, and Murakami's obviously been absolutely terrific, and deserves his spot in the team. We did get a couple of comments from our patrons, maybe a couple of names that they would have liked to have seen on the shortlist. Pudini mentioned Park Il-gyu, who, as we said earlier, was our team of the half-season keeper last season, while Ralph went into bat for Shusaku Nishikawa, who, Ralph says, has improved since Reds' new goalkeeping coach has come in, especially on his catching corners and crosses. And I mean, it is a slight not quite on the same level as Murakami perhaps, Sam, but it's a bit of a redemption story for Nishikawa, isn't it? Because it looked early in last season that Zion Suzuki was set to take his place in the team, and then we had missed COVID test or misreported COVID test gate for Suzuki, and that opened the door back up for Nishikawa, and he basically hasn't given Zion Suzuki a look in ever since then, has he?
No, he hasn't. I mean, to be fair to Nishikawa, I think for the last two or three seasons he's played quite well. There was a spell maybe a couple of years before that where he was prone to a lot of errors, and he was just losing it completely. It's kind of the time he dropped out of national team contention, and you were thinking, okay, he's not got much long left as a Reds goalkeeper. And Rodriguez came in, he wanted to give the young goalkeeper a go, and Nishikawa took his chance when it was given to him, and I agree, he hasn't put a foot wrong since then. Maybe he is a touch unfortunate to miss this top five, but I mean, I think he's on a similar level to where I've got Kwon and Jung and maybe a couple of others. So, he's on the bubble, and it was considered, but maybe just doesn't quite do enough to get into this poll. But maybe it's a touch harsh on him. As for Park, if you look at the record that Tosu have defensively, it is very good, and on his day he's a terrific goalkeeper. But when I was thinking of my shortlist, I'm not sure if Johnny was the same, but in my mind I just had two or three times this season where Park has gifted the opposition goals, and it's cost Tosu a couple of victories on that occasion. So I couldn't vote for Park based on that, despite him being all round a very good goalkeeper and one of the best in the league. I just think he has to cut those errors out if he's going to be making a team of the half season.
Well, I mean, he's arguably the most spectacular shot stopper in the league, isn't he? But I mean, you can't have his brain farts. If we're going to pick a team that's going to, take the aliens to pieces, we can't have Park wandering out of his 20 yards out of his area for no apparent reason. Because the aliens aren't going to miss from 45 yards, whereas some of the J-League strikers do on a semi-regular basis. So I just did want to give Jung from Kawasaki a mention, because I think he made the shortlist at this stage last season, and I'd don't think he got a vote then either. So perhaps we should take the message, guys, and just not bother putting him on our shortlist anymore, because apparently our patrons just don't rate him at all, poor old Jung. But yeah, I'm sure his all of his championship medals from the last five seasons will soothe his pain at not getting any votes in our poll. I mean, Park, Nishikawa, I mean, I didn't want to kick up a stink, guys, but I wouldn't have complained if Jakub Slavik was on this shortlist, because he's arguably been FC Tokyo's best player so far this season. Were there any other honourable mentions that you wanted to give a shout out to, Johnny, before we move on to the right back poll?
Well, I'd agree with what you said about Jakub Slavik. I think he was in my kind of bubbling under list, but I think, as we've said, you know, there's 18 goalkeepers starting every week in J1, and we had to pick, like, you know, four or five. There's going to be some, there are plenty of good keepers there. There's going to be some who just, they've been solid, but you really need to do something. Like, Murakami's only conceded 10 goals for a team that haven't done that well this year. So really to kind of compete with that, or some of the other goalkeepers like Jung, you know, I think he's been better than he has been in recent seasons, because he's had to be. And there's a lot of negativity about Kawasaki, but they're only a point off top of the league. And yeah, you know, Takaoka's from the table topping team. You know, it's tough to get in there. A couple of people I wanted to mention, because you said kind of beforehand about maybe like up and comers or like lesser known names. I think, I know he's not so young, but Yuki Miura at Jubilo, I think for me, yeah, he's kept him in some games. I think you've mentioned, like, that this year Jubilo, Sam's mentioned a few times, like, you know, they look like they should be dead and buried, like almost like Japan tonight. They're just kind of hanging on, but they managed to stay in there week in, week out, which is actually quite interesting, because it's basically the opposite of Ito's team at Kofu last year, where they looked better than everyone else, but then somehow managed to not kill off games. So I just wanted to give him a mention, because I think he's done very well. And this is not really for this, but more for the future. But I think Masato Sasaki at Kashiwa, because there's strong rumours linking Park Sung-gyu with a move to the Middle East. So he might well come in and be their first choice goalkeeper for the second half of the season. I think he's only played the last couple of games, so he's definitely not a candidate for team of the half season, but keep an eye on him, I think.
Yeah, I'd echo exactly what you said with Sasaki there. I think he's looked very promising in the last couple of games. And yeah, Kim looks like he's on his way, and he looks like a very good young goalkeeper. Absolutely agree as well with Miura. He has kept Jubilo in plenty of games this season. And yeah, maybe he was just another one just on the bubble, but 25 goals conceded in the end. I mean, it goes against you, I think, even though it's not necessarily all his fault. The only other one I would have had in contention, and it's similar to Park actually, it would be Kim Jin-hyun, who is a very good goalkeeper, again one of the best goalkeepers in the league, but again just maybe one or two individual errors he has made this season probably took him just out of my shortlist. But yeah, I think he was another one that was just about in contention.
All right then, gents, let's move to right back, where, again, the patrons have voted in their droves. And yes, we have a clear winner in the Patreon poll. It's just a matter of whether we want to rubber stamp it or not. So ascending order of votes received, Riku Matsuda from Cerezo Osaka received one vote. Keigo Tsunemoto from Kashima got two. Then we had Nanase Ino of Tosu and Tomoya Fuji from Hiroshima getting three votes each. But yes, getting nine, indeed 50% of the total votes cast for the right back poll. Ryuta Koike from Yokohama F. Marinos was the overwhelming choice of our patrons. And well, Sam, I'll come straight back to you. Have the patrons got it right on this occasion, do you feel?
I don't think they've got it completely wrong, but they didn't go with who I went with. And Koike, to be fair to him, has played very well, and he's been one of the very few players in that Marinos team that has pretty much played every game, because the rest have been rotated around. So it shows his importance to that side. He's played right back and left back, and he's played very well. He's got forward, he's contributing to goals, and defensively very, very solid. I was between three, actually. The top three that have been voted for, I was between those three. But I went with Tomoya Fuji. I just think he's had an absolute breakout season as the right wing back for Hiroshima. He's vital to the way that they play because of the energy he puts in up and down that right-hand side. He yeah, he's sprinting, getting crosses into the area. He looks a threat every time he goes forward. And defensively, he has been magnificent. So I went with him as a more of a breakout star this season. But it's not one where I'm going to be so furious at the Patriots that they voted in Koike, because I think he is a worthy winner. But unless maybe you two want to join me with Fuji and we can stand up to the Patriots, then I wouldn't be against that either. Johnny, were you in the Koike camp or do you want to join me?
Well, I'm sorry, Sam. I did vote for Koike, but I was kind of torn because, as we said in our discussion before choosing this shortlist, like, three of these guys are basically playing in flat back fours, and then Fuji and Eno play with back three. So from that perspective, you're slightly comparing apples and oranges here. It is quite difficult to pick one, but I think Koike, if only because Marinos are currently the top of the league, and he might be the only Mariners player that actually makes our best 11. Like you said, there's been so much rotation going on. It's been very difficult to pick out players. Like, you find, oh, he's been good, but then someone else similar has played like an extra five games. So yeah, Koike, he's a very good defender. He's also got like three goals and an assist in 14 games. And he is a good story because he started out like Murakami. Like, Koike started out playing for Renofa Yamaguchi in the GFL. And he's got appearances in J1, J2 and J3. And, you know, as we saw tonight in the Japan game, we've got an aging Yuto Nagatomo playing it right back. So there's definitely a spot open in the national team, probably post World Cup. And Koike would be a good one to fill it. But I wouldn't be adverse to changing him for Fuji, because Fuji, I was kind of looking up in the J-League's like stats on the website. He's number one for sprints, dribbles and crosses in the league. He was good last season, but as you say, a real breakout this year. Eno as well, he's been really good, and I think he could go somewhere. I'm sorry for Tosu selling all the players, but I think Eno probably won't be at Tosu next season. I think Tsunemoto's a solid option, and I think it was you that fought for Matsuda to get in this poll, Sam, and I definitely agree with him. I actually watched the Osaka Derby and the Levan Cup at Panasonic Stadium, and it was in between two league games, and both teams rotated heavily. I think Matsuda was the one top team player that started for Seveso, and he was just a cut above the rest, like his leadership, his calmness, his play. So, and he's like facing stiff competition from, say, a Maikuma, who they fitted in the right wing, and they'll probably take over from him, but he's really had to up his game. So I think, yeah, he's been a very solid contributor. So I guess, but Ben, it's down to you. I've chosen Koike. If you say Fuji, I'm happy to go with it, but what do you think?
Well, yeah, Sam, no, you said it was a race in three. And if you had said Eno, I probably would have had your back. But my order would have been Eno, Koike, Fuji. So I think, yes, the patrons have won the day here. And maybe we want to save upsetting the apple cart until a little bit later on in the episode as we work our way through this team. But yeah, it's definitely a close one. And actually, as Johnny mentioned, yeah, you were battling for Matsuda to get on this list, Sam. I presumed his one vote was from you. But yes, no, you ended up going for Fuji. But yeah, they're all worthy candidates. And yeah, I think I'm happy to go with the weight of the Patreon vote here and Johnny's backing there. So actually, listening back, Johnny, we didn't let you win too many last year, I remember, in both the half season and the full season one. So it would be a bit rude of me to jump on with Sam here at the right back position. So yeah, let's give it to Ryota Koike with Fuji and Eno, as they were in the poll, not such a close second, but yeah, definitely in second spot here. And let's flip flanks and head over to left back, where we only were able to come up with four names for our short list. But again, there was an overwhelming choice of our patrons. And at the start of the season, I don't think this guy would have been on anybody's, if it was such a thing as a J-Pred for the team of the half season, I'm not sure that Ryosuke Yamanaka would have been on anybody's list for the left back position, but he's ended up getting 9 votes, or 60% of the 15 votes cast for the left back position. Comfortably beaten Takaki Shichi from Fukuoka, who got 3 votes. And as we work our way down this time, Yoshifumi Kashiwa from Hiroshima got 2. And I guess a bit of a jack of all trades for Tosu, Yuto Iwasaki, got 1 vote. So Yeah, I guess Yamanaka, he's a flashy player. His delivery in from the left is generally impeccable, Johnny, and that has seen him win the eye of a number of our patrons. And yes, he's comfortably the winner of the Patreon poll for left back.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think like last year we had issues trying to find like left backs, but both for the mid-season and end of season poll. And I think we mentioned then it's been a continuing issue for the Japan national team. So it's kind of reflected here, because of course, like some players will go directly from high school or university overseas, or like Hiroki Ito will go from J2, but most of them will pass through J1. So if there is a dearth of like quality Japanese left backs in J1, that's going to pass down to the national team. And I think Yamanaka does have previous national team experience. He's probably that's passed him by now. And yeah, I was a bit surprised with his signing, because obviously on the other side, it makes sense to bring in Maekuma because he's younger and he can kind of challenge Matsuda for the next few years, whereas Yamanaka has instantly taken over from Marahashi almost, and Marahashi's been a long-term servant for Cerezo, and they've not lost out anything. I think 3 assists in the league from Yamanaka, and like you said, that's always been his strength going forward, but he has looked much more solid defensively. I guess it helps playing alongside people like Matej Jonić. So yeah, I think I've got no issues with him as a clear winner. Just a little mention on the other three, because I think Shichi is another one, like Koike, he's played J3, J2, J1, and I think he's been a very key cog in that Fukuoka defensive machine. Kashiwa, I think Sam said a few weeks ago you were talking about like Aoyama and Kashiwa, Gegen pressing wasn't for them and they'd be soon out the team, and I thoroughly agreed with you on that, but Kashiwa seems to have bucked the trend and he's doing very well. And yeah, I think Iwasaki was one I kind of pushed for, because he's one of these players that he sort of was very good before he turned pro, and there's a lot of hype about him, but he was a forward who couldn't score, and it feels like he really has found a home like on and off the field at Sagan Tosu. So I'm really happy to see him doing well. But I mean, how about you, Sam? Are you gonna rubber stamp Yamanaka, or do you want to upset the apple cart?
No, I'll come back on board with everyone. I know my place. I'll go with Yamanaka. I think he has been the best left back so far this season. I completely agree with you. I think it helps him in terms of having to being able to play with Jonić and Nishio and Matsuda, who are very good defensively. So it gives him a little bit more freedom to go forward, because at Reds, when it wasn't quite as solid in and around him, I think he was exposed defensively and it really harmed the team. I think this team is allowed to go forward and he knows that someone is going to cover him and it's going to be fine. And his delivery going forward has been very good. And I agree with you, he has worked on his defensive game as well. And one-on-one, he's turned out to be a reasonable defender. I don't think he's ever going to be the best defensive player that there is. But yeah, I think he's really come on and I'm happy for him, because he's had a couple of difficult years. So yeah, I'm fully on board with Yamanaka. And just this is just such an interesting list of players, because yeah, there is that dearth, and you mentioned Ben at the start that Yamanaka wouldn't have been on anyone's list for this. I didn't think anyone of this this selection would have been, really. I mean, Kashiwa, I think, has done very well to fit into this Gegen pressing system, because the last couple of years he has definitely been on his way out. I think Iwasaki is basically a striker to start with, and then he has managed to fill in on this left wing back position for Tosu and done very well, because he had so many loan spells where he went off. I think Sapporo he went to, and it was a Kyoto as well, and just really struggled. So he found a home at Tosu in that left wing back position and has done very well. And Shichi was always just a kind of solid left back. Yeah, he's decent, but I think he's gone up another level this season as well. So yeah, credits to all four of them for getting on here, but yeah, I'm firmly with Yamanaka. Any arguments, Ben?
No, yeah, I'm happy to go along with the patrons and indeed both of you guys. Yeah, it's a bit of a redemption story, like his former Reds teammate Nishikawa, who we mentioned earlier. Yeah, it's a third chance in J1 after he obviously left F. Marinos for Reds, hoping for a greener pastures. That didn't work out, as we all know. But yeah, it looks like he's back to his best and really enjoying his football for Cerezo. And yes, if we're putting together a dream team, then yeah, his delivery in from the left would be a huge weapon in our team's arsenal. As we've said, we only got to four nominees here. So that slightly put out to Pudini, who would have liked to have seen Asahi Sasaki from Kawasaki included on our list to work it out to five names. I didn't ask you from right back, Johnny. So were there any from either fullback position? Were there any players that were on the shortlist for you, or not quite on the shortlist for you? Maybe on the bubble that didn't quite make it.
Well, I think first of all, regarding Pudini's question about Sasaki, I think he's done well, and he's definitely, because of the injury to Noboru Sato, he's played more than you would expect him to. My issue with putting him on this list is that as soon as Noboru Sato comes back, Noboru Sato is starting, and that's not really the case for any of these other players. They're all the first choice. So while he's done well, I don't think he's done enough to be on this list. The two players I wanted to mention, not necessarily that I think they should be on this list, but I think they've done enough to deserve a mention. First is the Shimizu's left back, Leon Yamahara, who's just stepped up from university, and he's done quite well in a struggling team who've once again fired their coach. He's got a number of assists and he's played pretty regularly, so I wanted to give him a name check. And we haven't obviously picked any Gamba Osaka players in any of the shortlists, but I wanted to just kind of mention Keisuke Kurokawa, who I think is come on quite well this season. Last year, yeah, he struggled a bit, especially against teams in the top 6, 7, 8 places. He had a bit of a shocker against Fukuoka earlier this year, but I think defensively he has improved a lot. Probably having a full-time like permanent coach has helped. And there has been changing between a back four and a back three, but there's been less of that, and he's been in the team more regularly. So I wanted to shout those two out. I don't really have anyone else at right back I wanted to mention, but I don't know about you, Sam. Is there anyone you would mention at fullback?
The only one I would bring in at right back would maybe be Yota Maejima. I think if he was a left back, I think he'd definitely make the shortlist. I think he's a little bit better than Shichi in terms of he's got all that defensive quality that everyone has to have in that Avispa defence. But I think going forward, he has a little bit more than Shichi. So he would have potentially made it, but I think I'm not sure I could argue him over anyone that we put in our right back position. And then I just want to mention a couple of players that have had injuries at the start of this season, so they weren't really going to be in contention, but I've really liked what I've seen of Takuya Ogiwara at Kyoto. I think a very good attacking left back. He's just had those problems, not really got a consistent run of games, but I think he looks the part. I mean, he was part of the reason I think that Sasaki didn't get in here, because it was him that got down the left hand side against Kyoto, crossed the ball in that Sasaki booted into his own net, and you don't want to do that a day before shortlists are being announced because it doesn't go for you. And the other one is at Shonan, he's Taigahata, who it's hard to say that Shonan have actually come into a bit of form, but they have to a degree, and that has coincided with Taigahata coming back in. He can play both sides. I think he is crucial to the way that they can play with his delivery down from either side. I think he's still only 20, but he's so experienced for that age. I think he is one that just needs to get a good run of fitness behind him, and then he can move on to a team towards the top of the table, or maybe even a lower European team. But yeah, I think maybe those two are ones to watch for the team of the season if they can get a nice run of form. But yeah, obviously they weren't in contention at this time.
All right then. So that's the flanks of our defence taken care of. Let's move into the centre. And for the centre-back poll, and indeed for all of the remaining polls that we'll work our way through, our patrons were able to choose their top two choices to fill out the positions. So at centre back there are a total of 35 votes cast. So either somebody forgot to vote for two players, or decided they only wanted to choose their top centre back from the first half of the season, or I don't even know, maybe somebody voted for three different players. I wasn't able to check that in detail. So however it's shaken out, we have a very interesting spread of votes amongst our six nominees, and we'll work our way through this time in ascending order. So Hayato Araki from Hiroshima got two votes, Shogo Taniguchi from Kawasaki 4, then we had Taiyo Koga from Kashiwa and the returning Mate Yonich from Sedezo Osaka getting 5 votes each. But the top two vote getters were Tsukasa Shiotani from Hiroshima, who got 7, and Alex Schultz from Urawa Reds got a total of 12 votes to lead the way. Johnny, which way did you slice it at centre-back, both in terms of reacting to our patrons and, your particular two choices yourself?
Well, I actually went for Schultz and Chiotani, and I think as the vote, although the majority didn't vote for Schultz, he is the clear winner. So I think he definitely has to be in the team. There have been a number of injuries around the league this year, and I think Urawa in particular have been badly affected. And there's been times where like Inukai, Sakai and Ohata have all been out of the team. So Schultz has been the only sort of first choice defender there. And I think Urawa's issues have all been at the other end of the field. Defensively, like we mentioned before with Nishikawa, they have been quite sound. He's led the team well. What I really like about him is he's more than capable of mixing it physically, but he's also quite good with the ball at his feet. And also, point not to be underestimated, is the two penalties he's scored, because Reds, I know they've been on the receiving end of quite a few like very, very tight decisions that have gone against them, but they've also had quite a lot of penalties, like for accidental handball, and he scored two of them. And sort of breaking down the stats, like Urawa have actually only scored from open play in 5 of their 16 games. So his penalty taking, as well as his excellent defensive skills and leadership, have been really good. They've really impressed me. Chiotani, I'm actually, I was more of a fan of, as you know, of his teammate Araki. I was the one who pushed for him to be in the team, but it seems like I'm the only like platinum Araki fan club member amongst the patrons, so he didn't get many votes. I can't really argue for him. I'm also a huge fan of Tayo Koga. I really like him, and he's led that Kashiwa defence really well. Jonic, I think he's missed 5 games. Jonic will be very tough to displace from the team of the season, but I think he's missed too many games. So for me, Schultz has to be there. I think Chiotani or Koga, and I voted for Chiotani, but if you guys go for Koga, I'm happy to accept Koga. What did you think, Sam?
I like to be a little bit different, and I've gone with Chiotani. I agree with you on Chiotani, and for me, it was a race between the three, Schultz, Chiotani and Matej Jonic, and I can't see a poll with your Matej Jonic on it and not vote for him, because I think he is a terrific defender. I think he's one of the best centre-backs we've seen in the J-League. I absolutely take the point that maybe the games that he's played missed just swing it in favour of Schultz, but I have to make my point and I have to stand with Matej Jonic at all costs. So yeah, that's who I went with. I have no problems with Schultz winning it, though. I think the way that he has managed to work with just Iwanami, pretty much the only other centre-back next to him, and Iwanami has been working against the Reds for a lot of the season, so he's done very well there. He's a classy defender, absolutely, as you said, can mix it up, can do absolutely everything in terms of physicality, but then so calm on the ball. Yeah, he's just a very good defender, so I'm not against Schultz winning this, and I think Chiotani should be the other one, just because he's then had that switch into centre-back once Skibber has come in. He adds a little bit more to that back line, because with Nogami, Araki and Sasaki, all very good defenders, and it's never been a real issue for Hiroshima to have that very good defensive line. But what Chiotani adds in there is that progression forward. He's a very good defender in his own right, but he is able to start the attacks from that position. He's able to get the ball out quickly, and that's been a key reason that they have been able to counter-attack so effectively, is the way that Chiotani has played. So yeah, Chiotani had to make it for me. Jonic is just my pick, but Chiotani and Schultz is absolutely fine, unless Ben has a curveball.
Ooh, yeah. It's difficult to know where to draw the line in terms of Jonic, isn't it? Because, yeah, I can't imagine he won't be on the team of the season if he remains fit. But, yeah, not rejoining Cerezo until match day 6 has probably done for him, I suppose. So, I think we're going with the top two from the patrons, right? Yeah, I mean, I like Koga as well. And, I think we all agree that Jonic is probably one of the best two defenders in the league, but that doesn't necessarily make him one of the best two from the first half of the season when, we're taking the entire 16 rounds of games into account. So, yes, honourable mention to both Koga and Jonic then, and with expectations that they will push Chiotani and Schultz all the way for their spots in the, well, if they can hold their spots for, the team of the the season as a whole. So just before we go to a break, Johnny, were there any honourable mentions at centre-back that you wanted to throw in? Honourable mention or, good young players coming through in the position?
Well, there's a kind of mixture of both. I think we mentioned it previously, obviously, Marinos have rotated a bit, and we've also said that Eduardo's move there hasn't worked out as we thought it might. And I've been quite impressed a couple of times I've seen young Ryotaro Tsunoda. I know he's quite inexperienced. He's come up through university, but I like, again, we mentioned Schultz is very physical and able to play the ball. Tsunoda looks quite good at playing the ball. He is a bit exposed, obviously, at Marinos, and he will learn, but I think he's someone to keep your eyes on. And the other player we're talking about, Matej Janić, but his partner for most of the season, I think he's injured now, is Ryuya Nishio, and he's actually captained the side in Kiyotaki's absence earlier on in the year. He's a very solid defender and definitely someone you would think, like with Maya Yoshida's probably not got too many more years left in the national team, he's someone that you might see getting higher honours in the not too distant future. And I know you mentioned, Ben, we saw in the Patreon group, there was a question from Daniel about Douglas Grawley. And my question for Daniel would be, because there's three very good centre-backs there. There's Mia, there's Nara, there's Douglas Grawley. Which two are the two first choice? Because I looked through the last three games. You've had Grawley and Mia and Nara, and then Nara and Grawley, if I got that right. So I can't work out if Grawley is first choice or if they're just rotating those three. And they're all very good, and Fukuoka defend well with Grawley in the team and without him in the team. So I think for that reason, I couldn't necessarily pick one of those defenders. If I had to pick one, it'd be Mia, because I think he's the one that's kicked on the most. But those were the three names I wanted to mention specifically. It was Tsunoda, Nishio, and Mia. Sam, is there anyone else you would mention?
Well, yeah, I think the nail on the head there with the Fukuoka centre-backs, because they play 2-on-1 off. That has been the pattern ever since Nara came back, because they want to play that back four, but they've got three incredible centre-backs, I suppose. So, yeah, it was so difficult to separate any of those. I think on their day, any of them could have made the poll, but, yeah, just too many games off kind of cost them. The only one I would mention is Kento Misawa to Kashima, just given that he is a midfielder that has been thrust into the deep end at centre back this season. And he had Sekigawa alongside him for most of it. At the start of the season, he was all over the place, and Misao has had to rein him in a little bit. He's had to take control of that back line, which is completely alien position to him, with very young players, especially at right back and centre back with him. And I mean, Bueno, he couldn't rein him in last week, but generally he has done so well dropping into that position, because when he looks ahead of him, there's Pituka and there's Higuchi, he was thinking, how am I getting into this side? But he's made that position his own at centre back, and I just think he has done incredibly well this year in such an unfamiliar position. So I wanted to give him some props for that. But yeah, otherwise it was kind of slim pickings outside of our position. I think I always like Morishige at centre back, and I think Tokyo are so much better when he plays, but he had too much time out, I think, and so I couldn't really pick him. And as I mentioned before, those other Hiroshima defenders are very good, but yeah, no one else that I think was a bolter into that shortlist.
All right then, so that's our goalkeeper Masaaki Murakami and our back four of Ryuta Koike and Ryosuke Yamanaka at the fullback positions, and our two centre backs Tsukasa Shiotani and Alex Schultz taken care of. So we're basically halfway through our team of the season so far. So we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll have a chat with Johnny about Gunba Osaka's season thus far, and then we'll put together the midfield and attack for our J1 team of the half season. Welcome back. There were no players from a total of six J1 teams nominated for our J1 team of the half season polls, including players from FC Tokyo, Sapporo, Shimizu, Shonan, Kobe, and Gamba, Johnny's team. And Johnny, it's been I'm sure you can tell us, a frustrating season for your side thus far, having played 15 games up until this international break, of course, with a game in hand still to play against Hiroshima. Mind you, that a win in that game in hand would see you move up to ninth in the table and mid-table comfort, perhaps. But, yeah, just winning four of your first 15 games and having lost the last two, I guess your side has entered the international break on a bit of a downer, which is a shame, having won the two previous games before that. And it looked like your season might have been getting on track somewhat.
Yeah, it's been a bit like the league as a whole. It's quite difficult to put your finger on exactly what's happened. We're 13th last season with chaos going on all around us, and we're 13th again this year. I mean, there have been some small positive signs, but there's been a lot of negativity, which a lot of it obviously culminated at the Osaka Derby, the 3-1 defeat, and there was Pereira and Shoji's slangy match on the pitch and bad fan behaviour. But, you know, the club have got to move forward. I was kind of thinking about what to say when it came on, and it's almost like since kind of mid 2017, I don't know if Sam would agree with me, but Gamba in some ways kind of resemble kind of post Ferguson Manchester United. There always seems to be like players there. There's a team there you can put together. Well, he's done that, or he's been there, or he brings this. But for some reason, when you fit it all together, it doesn't seem to work. And you know, last year they had the COVID ruined the season before it started. This year, for some reason, they decided to go to Okinawa, even when Kobe and Cerezo had COVID cases, and inevitably that blew up in our faces. We've had more COVID cases, more injuries. At least some things do seem to be getting better. I think if any Serrer players are listening, don't quite take this to the bank, but it seems like Higashiguchi will play against Marinos, barring any setbacks. Shoji's in training, Ryuta Kao's in training. There are still a mountain of players missing, although Takashi Usami was seen kicking a ball again, which is a positive sign. There's a summer transfer window kind of coming up, so I'm very interested to see what happens there. And I'm also interested, you know, like Sam, you obviously watch Gamba from a more neutral perspective. Like, what's your take, kind of warts and all? And in the summer transfer window, if you were in charge, where would you look to kind of strengthen?
It's just so, as you say, it's so difficult to sum up Gamba this season because so many injuries, so many COVID cases. You've never been able to have a finished team. You've obviously got Usami out, who's your best player. Kurata has missed a large part of this season. He would probably make the first 11 most times. Fukuda's had injuries. Takao Yamamoto, just so many injuries. So it's been hard for Captain Osaka to really get his grip on the team. I still don't think he has, because he changes formation far too often for my liking. I don't think he's settled on the exact way he wants to play. Maybe that is just because he has to deal with whatever players he's got available each week. But I think he really needs to figure that one out because, like as you say, looking at that, you look at that back line, you could fit a good back three of Shoji, Kwan and Miura. It looks very good on paper, but has never really worked out, as it didn't last season with Kim Yong-kwon there either. The main positives for me are Dawan and Saito. I think both have been very good signings. Obviously, Saito came in with injury issues. He's also probably been one of those players out with COVID. So again, that's been disruptive, but both on their day have looked very, very good. So that's the positive I would take from Gamba. If I'm looking at the transfer window, I think an out-and-out goal scorer is absolutely necessary. I don't think either Patrick now at 34 or Leandro Pereira is going to score enough goals or take enough of the chances for Gamba to really move into a contention of where they want to be as a Champions League contender. At the moment, I don't think either of those two are going to be able to. And without Usami, you are lacking that creativity as well. So those are the two areas you need, that creative spark, either from the wing or as a number 10, and you need an out-and-out goal scorer, which is a lot easier said than done. And the other thing that Gamba are going to have to deal with is what they deal with seemingly every summer, or at least most summers, is they've got in some very good young players, and you're looking at Yura Nakamura is the one that is the most heavily linked with a move to Europe already. And just how do Gamba stave off that, because it seems to be Gamba more than any other club as well, that they have an 18-year-old that they give a bit of game time to, they look like they're going to burst into the side and then just go. And that is kind of where Gamba have been, I think, as a squad, is that you've had those players that have been there forever, and then every time you've tried to build someone to take over from those positions, they go. And it's a difficult position that Gamba have always found themselves in, and it leaves them, once you've got Usami, Kurata, you're so heavily reliant on them that once they're out, I think there's a real real lack of spark in that attack. So that's what Gamba need to address, I think. I don't know if you agree with that, Johnny. But yeah, and it's easier said than done. I mean, if you've got to find an out-and-out goal scorer, it's, yeah, very few teams actually have them. So yeah, it's a difficult one. Do you agree with that, Johnny? Or are there different, more pressing matters that you would address?
No, I thoroughly agree with that, Sam. And it's always good because obviously I try to be as neutral as I can be on here. Like I'm selling Sarah's own Urawa players to get in the team of the year. So it is always good to try and get a neutral opinion. And I think it's interesting you mentioned like Dawan and Saito, because those two, along with Kwon, I think for me are clearly signings that Katon Osaka wants at the club. If I was to quote one of my Japanese friends with a little bit of Japanese English that I think will translate, she said there's a lot of players at Gamba with poor cost performance, and that's acceptable to use for humans in Japan. But the players she mentioned were Pereira, Silva, Ju Sejong, and also Gen Shoji, who are also on big salaries, but three of them rarely start. And I think something that was quite telling was that Gamba's most recent league game away to Sagan Tosu, where they lost it late on. It was 1-1 and in the balance for quite a bit. And then Hiroto Yamami went off with cramp. And then they had Pereira and Silva were both on the bench. But Katon Osaka chose to bring on young Harumi Minamino, who's still in high school. So if that doesn't tell you that Katon Osaka doesn't want Pereira or Silva in the squad, I don't know what does. We're paying Pereira an awful lot of money. I believe this is the final year of his contract, so I think we might have to eat that for another 6 months. I don't think anyone would take him off us. So I don't know if there is the money there. There might be money to bring in a loan. I mean, the players I thought of were Shuto Machino at Shonan, and there's a player I really like at Kumamoto, Toshiki Takahashi, but he's just stepped up from J3 and got half a season in J2, so he's a project player. I mean, other people I wrote down, if they could get rid of a couple of the Brazilians in Ju Sejong, if they could find another Hwang Wee-jo from Korea, I know that's a long shot, because that worked out really well. Other than that, then you're kind of looking at veterans like Manabu Saito, or bringing back Hiroyuki Abe for like 6 months to try and bridge the gap until Usami comes back. And as one player, I don't know how Ben would feel about it, but and there's a million reasons why it wouldn't happen, but Shoma Doi from Kashima, who's not in the team at the moment, would be perfect as a six-month loan. And what I would say to Kashima, if anyone from Kashima is listening, are Gamba more likely or less likely to take points off Marinos and Kawasaki with him in the team or not? So have a think about that. But well, since I'm talking about Shoma Doi, but Ben, what would you think about Gamba? Have you got anything to add to what me and Sam have been saying?
Well, I think if we could, get the Prince back out on the pitch playing regularly and, yeah, get him happy and enjoying his football again, then, yeah, I'm all in favour. So, yeah, that's an intriguing move. I think it would take a lot to get him away from Kashima. Obviously, he spent his entire career there. But, yeah, maybe Mr. Katon Osaka could twist his arm and, poach him over for 6 months. That would be, a fascinating move for him, and I'm sure he would definitely do well for Gamba. Where are you going to find a not a 20 goal a season striker, but maybe a 10 or 12 goal in half a season striker? Obviously they don't grow on trees, Johnny, but yeah, hopefully the scouting network is they'd have to be already well and truly working overtime to try and identify somebody. And you're crying out for a not necessarily a target man, but yeah, somebody who can carry the scoring load, because I think it's three goals combined, isn't it, from Patrick and Leandro Pereira through the first half of the season. So yeah, that's not good enough. And as you say, Mr. Katon Osaka clearly doesn't fancy Pereira especially. So something's got to change. I mean, again, don't want to throw Sam under the bus here again, but I think he mentioned the R word recently, Johnny. I'm sure you're not having such dark thoughts at this stage of the season, but is there a thought in the back of your mind that this could end up being another lost season like last season was? I think that's exactly the same phrase I used last week as well. Hopefully you're optimistic that the second half of the season will pick up. But I don't know. I guess Gamba's recent history isn't terrific. In terms of, obviously last season was an anomaly. But yeah, you've got to just make sure that doesn't turn into a pattern now.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, the R word is something that's going through my head, because like we said, there are so many teams that are quite close together in terms of ability and also points. And I think before the Cerezo game, like, if Gamba had won, I think they would have been above Cerezo. Like, they'd gotten themselves in a decent run.
Yeah.
But then they've lost a couple of games now. And then the game in hand is Hiroshima at home. And I'm kind of in two minds about that, because you would have thought, like, before the Tosu game, like, having that extra time off would help Gamba win that. But then seeing the other results from that Wednesday, like, Gamba cruising past Hiroshima would not have looked out of place there. So we've got Marinos, and then we've got Hiroshima, and I think we've got another game before the end of June. So we're quite busy. So we really need to start picking up some points soon. And unfortunately, like, with Usami and Kurata out, a lot of the burden's fallen on Hiroto Yamami. And obviously, you get quite long odds in his first two goals of the season being back post headers, but that's what they've been. But kind of looking through the stats, he's had the most shots in goal. He's the most last passes. It's a bit like since 2019 with Usami, he's been expected to create and score, whereas that's fallen on Yamami in his first season, which really isn't fair. At the moment, could Gamba go down? There are worse teams in the league, but Gamba absolutely could go down. Could they finish in the top half? It's quite as easily possible. I'd say at the moment, Kyoto are ninth, but their stats are pretty horrible, especially recently. Jubilo, Shimizu, who are set to appoint a new coach, and Shonan, I believe those four teams are worse than Gamba. Urawa and Vissel, Urawa, I think, can get past Gamba. Vissel, I'm not so sure. But I think that there's enough teams that Gamba should be able to finish above, especially if they can add two or three players in the summer. But yeah, if you're a betting person, if you're looking for a shock, Gamba are not the worst bet for surprise relegation. I'll be honest.
All right then. Well, a lot of work for Mr. Katanasaka to do in the second half of the season, and I'm sure he's already hard at work, of course, during the international break to try and turn things around for his side. Okay, and Sam's mentioned that Mitsuki Saito and Darwin have been impressive in central midfield for Gamba in the first half of the season. And if they can string together more consistent performances in the second half of the season, they might make the poll for our team of the year. But as it was, we had six nominees in central midfield. And again, our patrons could choose two if they so pleased. So we had a total of 34 votes cast. Unfortunately, Kento Tachibana from Kawasaki did not receive any votes in this the same vote same vein as his goalkeeper Jun Sung Ryong. Hiroaki Okuno from Cerezo Osaka earned two votes. The Yokohama F Marinos captain Takuya Kida got three. Tsukasa Morishima from Hiroshima, seven. And our two highest vote getters in central midfield were Yuta Higuchi from Kashima, whose move from Tosu has been a success as he started every game for Antlers this season so far. He got nine votes. And the top vote getter, definitely a bolt from the blue at the start of the season, Kashiwa's Mateus Savio was the top vote getter with 13. Savio has scored five goals this season and started every game for Raysol after a severely injury hit 2021 season, in which he only made 20 appearances and just 11 starts. He scored two goals for Raysol last season and, yeah, was basically out for 5 months. He didn't start in the league from early April through to late September. So, terrific story. And he's caught the eye of our patrons and the leading vote getter in central midfield. So, yeah, we've got two to choose from here, Sam. I know you definitely have a soft spot for Morishima from Hiroshima. Higuchi and Savio were the leading vote getters. So which way are you leaning in the middle of the park?
Well, I didn't vote for Morishima, actually. I do like him. He's a very good player, but I think he's been outshone by someone we'll get on to a little bit later. I haven't gone with Savio because I don't like to be different. I think Savio played very well at the start of this half season, and then he's coming with the Sapporo game and the Shimizu game. But there was a good period there where I think he dropped off the boil a fair bit, and he's been a bit more fits and starts. And in terms of the other players, I think Higuchi has been quality throughout, and he got My first vote, I think, he's just settled into that Kashima team so well. He looks so good on the ball, defensively pretty decent as well, just runs that midfield, and they've got a fantastic... I wanted Pituka in there as well, but unfortunately he kicked a bottle at the supporter, so that kind of ruled him out. But yeah, Higuchi was the one main one I went for, and then the other one I am putting... I'm sticking up for holding midfielders, because I've got Takuya Kida as my other one, because I think he's absolutely vital to Yokohama F. Marinos. The only game in the last couple of months that he has missed in terms of when they've been going through all that rotation is the 1-0 loss to Avispa, and he is so key to the way they play in that, giving that protection to the defence. And without him, he's got an injury at the moment. Thankfully for Marinos, most of it is going to come throughout this international period, but I think they will really struggle to replace him in that holding midfield role. I just think he's that important. I think he is underappreciated a lot by a lot of people. I think Kida is so good, but yeah, only 3 votes. So again, I'm fighting an uphill battle to try and get Kida in there. But yeah, I just think he is a terrific holding midfielder and has been the best one in that. So maybe mine is more of a balanced pick in terms of bringing Kida in. But yeah, those were my 2, and I'm going to fight slightly harder against Savio than I did against Schultz and Koike.
I really agree with what you said, Sam, about Hida, like in that he's like underappreciated or undervalued, and also like I said earlier, like Marinos are top of the league at the moment. I know it's only by a point, but it feels like there should be more representation than there is, and he has played, especially recently, he's played a lot. I feel though, yeah, with me, I think Savio, part of the drop off is maybe not so much him, but more his teammates. And I think you said something a few weeks back, or maybe a couple of months back, about Kashua essentially being a team made up of 3 or 4 really good players and the rest are just kind of okay. A couple of times I've seen recently, Savio started off a couple of attacks, and then it goes to Hosoya, then it goes back to Savio, then it goes to someone who's not as good as them, and the move just breaks down. If Kashua could just get a couple of like really good players in the summer, or if he could go to like a Kashima almost to... But if, for example, if Ueda or Araki leave, I think he could really, really tear it up. But with his 8 kind of direct goal contributions from 16 games, for me, he's really difficult to see past. And I think where we do find common ground is absolutely on Yuta Higuchi, who just, you know, the minute he put on a Kashima jersey, he looked like he'd been there for years, and he's just settled in so well. There's the EAFF Cup coming up for the kind of domestic Japanese players in next month. Surely he'll be called up for that, and the World Cup is probably a bit too soon for him, but potentially after that, a move to Europe, a national team call up could be on the horizon. Yeah, I think for me, yeah, Morishima has been decent. Kida has been very good. I would have to go Higuchi and Savio, because Savio has been so productive in a team that's probably slightly performed because he's played so well, would be my reasoning. But what about you, Ben? You've got the deciding vote.
Yeah, I completely agree that Kida is an unsung hero. And in terms of the overall balance, if this wasn't a popular vote and we were just selecting the best team from, I know that's what we're doing, but if you know what I mean, like, yeah, if we took the popularity contest out of it, then yeah, Kida would probably be much more strongly considered from my point of view. And, you know, maybe the balance might be slightly better with him alongside Higuchi than Savio, who's much more forward thinking. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. If we were going to say that, yeah, this team is going to play the aliens, or this team is going to play a K-League all-star team, then yeah, I wouldn't mind the Higuchi-Savio combination. Higuchi, obviously, very box-to-box, and Savio, yeah, much more forward-thinking. So, yeah, sorry again, Sam. I can appreciate Kida and his quality, but I think, yeah, if Johnny's okay to go with Higuchi and Savio, then I think I will I'll follow suit, and I don't know, maybe we'll let you win one in one of the other 2 positions. I don't know, Sam, but... Yeah, so I think Johnny and I rubber stamped Higuchi and Savio, the top two picks. And maybe if you had have gone into to bat for Morishima, I might have been slightly more agreeable. But yeah, we'll let the patrons win the day again. And Higuchi and Savio are our two choices in central midfield. Johnny, was there anybody else you wanted to mention as an honourable mention apart from our six?
Well, after Sam made that great case for Kida, it kind of got me thinking about Marinos. And obviously one of those signings last winter was Joe Chima Fujita. And he's someone who's just, that step up from Tokushima to Marinos, he's taken to it like a duck to water. And I was actually watching the Japan under-23s against the UAE Thursday or Friday night. And he was a cut above. I think he's a really exciting prospect for the future. I mean, he's the kind of player, like you mentioned, that if he was at Gamba, he'd be off somewhere in Europe in the summer. But other teams seem better equipped to keep their players. So he'll probably be there for a few years. Kuryu Matsuki, but I'll let you talk about him more later, Ben, if you want to. And also, I know he got a red card in the Levain Cup, but that doesn't really count for because this is J1 only. But Sota Kawasaki, I think Utaka's obviously been the star turn, but I think he's really made the step up very, very well from J2 to J1 in sometimes trying circumstances. So I think he deserved a mention. But how about you, Sam? Is there anyone else you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, another, I think, kind of unheralded player, actually, at Sagan Tosto. I'd go Kai Koizumi. I think he's played almost every minute in that midfield. I just think he's kind of someone who has been underappreciated throughout his career. He's never really hit the heights, I don't think, at Kashima. He was pretty decent at Kashima. But it's found, as a lot of players have managed to in this kind of, whatever you want to call this, thrown together squad that Tosu have got, but he has looked very good in that holding midfield role, very solid there. And then he's also been able to, he's one of those players that can carry the ball long distances and get his team out of trouble from the edge of his own penalty area up to the other penalty area, and he makes it look fairly easy. So yeah, another one that I just think very rarely gets a mention, but Koi Koizumi would be there. And then I would also have brought up Matsuki. But yeah, Ben, how has Matsuki settled into life as a professional footballer at FC Tokyo, and how close was he for you getting into one of the shortlists?
Yeah, I don't think he's really been consistent enough, Sam. I mean, obviously, he burst onto the scene and had us all purring. But I think he's, as you'd expect, he's 18 years old in his first professional season. He's had his good games and his bad, and he's certainly shown enormous promise, and we're very thankful to have him for as long as we do. Obviously, he could be off as soon as the next off season. So we'll enjoy him while we've got him. But I think, he's made steady progress. And as I said, he's had some excellent performances. But, the physical side of the game is still you see him bumped off the ball on occasion because, you know, he simply doesn't have the strength of, 8-10 year professionals yet. But, you know, you can see his game intelligence and his movement is mouthwatering at times. And as I say, thankful to have him. For me, I don't think he would have gotten, anywhere near this six-man shortlist. Maybe you could even argue that Shuto Abe has come into slightly better form than Matsuki in the last month or so. It's been good to see him bounce back into some of the form that he displayed in 2020. All right, we stretched out to seven names in our attacking midfield / wingers position. Again, our patrons could choose their favourite two from the first half of the season, and a total of 32 votes were cast. Hiroshi Kiyotake, Arthur Kaike, and Yuki Horigome of Tosu each received one vote. Then, slightly more popular, Kota Mizunuma from Yokohama F. Marinos, rather, got five votes. One of the major surprise packets of the season and the only nomination from Iwata, Yuto Suzuki, got six votes. But our two leading vote getters were Mateus from Nagoya, who got eight, and Makoto Mitsuta, who to say he's burst onto the scene this season is a massive understatement. Mitsuta was the leading vote getter in this position with 10 votes cast. Mitsuta's scored 4 goals so far this season and didn't start a game until match day 4. But since then, he's been ever present after not featuring at all in the Hiroshima side in the 2021 J1 season. So, Sam, we know your thoughts about Mitsuta because we get to chat about him on a weekly basis. So he was the leading vote getter here. I imagine he was a first in your heart as well. So who else did you go for amongst our wide men?
Yeah, well, Mitsuta absolutely was going to get my pick. I think Paul Williams wrote an article about Hiroshima this week, and in it he said that I was gushing about Mitsuta, and I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, he has been magnificent. And the other choice had to be, for me, Mateus. I think Nagoya would be in the relegation places if Mateus wasn't on that team. He's been shifted into that more central position. I don't think he's the greatest for him, but he controls everything that I do. If they are going to create a chance, it is always coming from Mateus, whether it be from normal play and his crosses into the box, whether it be from his set pieces, which are always dangerous. I just think, yeah, he has been carrying that team without question in attack. So he got my vote. I think I really like Kiyotake. Again, he doesn't normally get the votes in these polls, despite me putting him on them all the time. I think he is terrific in that number 10 position, which he's moved into this season. Kaike, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and he has had a very good breakout season. And Horigomi, in a similar manner to Iwasaki, is one of those that can just plug in, and he's come out of nowhere from being like unused at Jeff United to being a key player for Sagan Tosu. Suzuki, obviously a favourite for fantasy football players with the amount of points he has got. I think he has done very well. And Mizunuma, I get that he gets votes in these, but I don't think he plays enough to get my vote in this. I think most of his appearances, I think mainly, have been off the bench. And yeah, he does well, but just on the bubble for me. But yeah, Mitsuta and Mateus, I have to agree with the Patreons. I'm not going to start another argument. So yeah, Johnny, any arguments from you?
Well, this was actually the one area where my vote didn't agree with the Patreons. Of course, I was on board with Mitsuta, and I just wanted to mention about him because he came from Ryutsu Keizai University along with Taishi Semba. And Semba was the one I thought was going to be the more highly rated of the two. But that must have been some Ryutsu Keizai team last year, because 7 of those players have joined J1 clubs this season, including Asahi Sasaki and also Taishi Kikuchi of Tosu. I just thought I'd mention that. I went for Suzuki over Mateus, but it was very much a 50-50 for me. I just thought Jubilo or 15th, that they've not done a whole lot. They've scored 18 goals this season. Suzuki's been directly involved in 9 of those. But Mateus, like you say, Sam, yeah, he, with no sphere chalk and all the other issues they've had in attack, changing the formation, he's really been the one constant. And he also, I think he allows us to play a sort of 4-3-3 with this formation, potentially, with Mitsuta and Mateus Savio just ahead of Higuchi, and then Mateus as a winger. So I would be willing to go with Mateus above Suzuki. I just wanted to say also about Mizunuma, because I know it was me who kind of pushed for him, because he's only started 7 games this year, and he actually only started 14 games over the past 2 seasons, but got 19 assists. I just feel like how he comes on in the last 15, 20 minutes and contributes goals and assists really is all about Marinos just breaking down opposition teams, like wearing them out, and then he just comes in and adds the finishing touch, gets winners, gets goals to settle things. So that was really, I felt he hadn't had enough recognition over this year or previous seasons. I don't think he should necessarily be in the team, but I think he's someone that definitely deserves a mention. So for me, I went for Mitsuta and Suzuki, but I'm more than happy to go with Mitsuta and Mateus. Well, what about you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, Suzuki's just a phenomenal story, isn't he? And as Sam said, yeah, a fantasy darling in the first half of the season. But yeah, I think it's, for me, yeah, Mitsuta and Mateus. Again, I know being very vanilla on this episode, but Mateus, I mean, Nagoya would just be absolutely nothing at all going forward if it wasn't for Mateus. And I mean, your point's a valid one. Suzuki's contributed an awful lot to Iwata's attack, both in goals and assists. Johnny, I realise that, but yeah, I don't know. Just the overall quality and consistency of Mateus, I think, is worthy of recognition here. And in complete contrast to his lengthy resume, yeah, the way Mitsuta's burst onto the scene. Well, it's almost Mitoma-esque, isn't it, Sam? And yeah, absolutely phenomenal. And we'll wait and see what he can do for an encore in the second half of the season, because yeah, Hiroshima really seeming to click into gear, and he's a large reason behind that. Sam, before we move on to the center forwards, were there any honorable mentions for you that you wanted to highlight in the attacking midfield / wingers position?
Yeah, I'd have put Koyamatsu in from Kashu. I think he was, well, I didn't put him in, obviously, but he would have been fairly close. I think he has been one, as Johnny mentioned, I've got those like three or four reasonable players at Kashu, and Koyamatsu is one of those. I think he's just got dropped occasionally for no real reason, but I just think, yeah, he was one of them. He's just a classy player, another of that Sagan Tosu lot that got a move, and I think he looks very good there. And Cerezo as well. I think Maikuma, who was obviously a fullback, who was moved into that right wing position, I don't think he's played enough actually this season to get into this shortlist at all, but I think he has taken to that role really well, and looks like, because obviously they thought he'd be in for Matsuda, but they're forming a very nice partnership down that right-hand side. He took over from Nakahara, who I thought had actually started the season fairly well, but he's obviously made the right choice. Maikuma has looked terrific. So, yeah, he would have been fairly close for me. Just trying to look through the teams to see if there is anybody else. I don't necessarily think so. Yeah, I think those would be where I am at the moment. But, yeah, I was quite happy with the shortlist that we had.
Yeah. No love for Dialton, and I understand that, guys. But yeah, from a Tokyo perspective, he's been he's been electric at times and absolutely unplayable. But yeah, again, perhaps doesn't start enough games to warrant a spot in our shortlist. And obviously, we've plumped it out to seven. We can't have too many more than that, or it gets a bit unwieldy. But yeah, any other names you wanted to mention before we move properly up front, Johnny?
Well, yeah, I think if Adalton played as well as he plays against Gamba, against every team, then he'd definitely be in this list. And I wanted to say as well about Maikuma, because yeah, he's really stepped up well, and I think he's got five between goals and assists, five in his last five games, and that's really helped Cerezo move forward. The other players I wanted to mention, I think Terehito Nakagawa and also Elbert from Marinos. Nakagawa is obviously not quite been the same since 2019, but I think recently he's started to step it up a bit. And I don't know if I'm maybe a position late because he's been playing a bit deeper this season, but Daya Tono, I think, has been one of the few kind of success stories, if you can call it that, at Kawasaki this year. I think he's kind of stepped up a little bit in the absence of some bigger names. So I think, yeah, again, none of them I don't think should be in this list, but I think maybe just kind of bubbling under, so I wanted to mention them.
All right then. Okay, so let's move up front to our two centre forwards. Again, our patrons could choose their top two from the first 16 match days of the season. And yeah, 32 votes in total were cast. Well, slightly unfortunate for Anderson Lopez, who is currently serving a suspension for a Spitgate, of course. He was voteless, despite being the third highest scorer in J1 after 16 rounds. He scored seven goals thus far this season, and had scored in four straight games before his sending off versus Fukuoka. There were three votes for the young Kashiwa forward Mao Hosoya, and four for the Kyoto veteran Peter Utaka. Speaking of Hosoya, he was to the fore for Japan's under-23s in their Asian Cup opener against the UAE. Hosoya's brilliant header gave Japan a 2-1 win in that game. And we should also mention that Zion Suzuki saved a penalty at 1-1 to help set up the winner from Hosoya as Japan got off to a good start there. Great news for Hosoya, and he's been impressive for Kashiwa thus far. And as we said, Utaka's been brilliant for Kyoto, but the two highest vote getters both ply their trade for Kashima Antlers. Yuma Suzuki, the much maligned, and Sam wondered how many votes he would actually get. Well, he has ended up with 11, and his strike partner, ISA Wada, has won the day with 14 votes. So Suzuki has just returned to the club, of course, in this past off season. And Sam, it looks like we might have to enjoy Wada while we've had him, because he might be heading over to Portugal if rumours are true.
Yeah, there's been a few rumours over the last few days linking him to Sporting Lisbon, where if he did move, he'd probably link up with Hidemasa Morita. So it'd be a very interesting move. Maybe it's slightly too high for an initial move. Maybe he would do better going to a slightly lower club. But anytime you get a Champions League club knocking, I think you've got to probably take that if you're Wada. So I think he would fully really deserve that move. I think out of all the Japanese strikers in the league, I think he is the most naturally gifted in terms of finishing ability, which is not always something you associate with Japanese strikers, but he definitely has an eye for goal, and that's shown with his goals tally so far this season. So, yeah, terrific for him. Hopefully he does well. If he does move, then we'll have to enjoy it for maybe a couple of games left before that window opens and he might be heading off. But, yeah, thoroughly deserving of that. And I was slightly surprised, actually, by this poll. As you mentioned, I thought Suzuki might be in trouble, as it's relatively a popularity contest, and it doesn't seem like he's that popular. So I'm very happy that he is second on this list. He's the one I voted for. I thought Utaka would probably get higher, and I'm slightly surprised that he only got 4 votes. I just had him as thinking he was going to finish second, and I was going to have to battle for Suzuki, and the way it's gone so far, Suzuki would have missed out. But I'm delighted that he's in that top two. I think he is absolutely quality as an all-round striker. He isn't the one that is the focal point. He will drift out to either side. He's part of the build-up. He's a very good finisher. You say what you like about perceived attitude problems, I think he is a tremendous player and deserving of a place in this position. I feel for Utaka. I think he's had a terrific season, and what he's doing at 38 is absolutely incredible. And Hosoya has done so well. It was an obvious worry for me at the start of this season if Hosoya was going to have to play too many games, because in the previous season he's not really shown anything of note, but he has stepped in for Douglas so well this season and scored very crucial goals, and they've not really missed Douglas. So yeah, he's definitely one for the future. Anderson Lopez, as much as I quite like seeing Anderson Lopez no votes there, I think he would have got a lot more if he didn't spit in Daiki Miya's face, so he's done himself in there. But I'm fully happy with the two that have been selected. Either of you plump for Utaka instead?
No, I went for the Kashima duo, and also, like I said in the previous section, I think you could play Matias with Ueda in the middle and then Suzuki on the left. That's quite a good front three. I think it's an interesting contrast, isn't it, between Ueda and Suzuki, because, you know, obviously Sam, you and I both have done this the last couple of times, and kind of transfer market updates and various other things, and you kind of get a feeling for which players are really on the rise and which ones are going to Europe. And kind of for the last kind of 6 months to a year, I see Ueda's stars really been rising, because I know we used to say about him, if he didn't have to think, he could take the chance, but then when he had to think about it, he'd mess it up. But his finishing has just become more and more clinical as time's gone on. And I was, before we came on here talking, I was messaging one of my Japanese friends about the game tonight, and that the comment was like, why was Ueda not brought on in the second half? So I think there's obviously a lot of faith in him from not just the Kashima supporters, but also the Japanese fans. So yeah, I wish him well in Europe, although I do share Sam's concerns about whether Sporting is the right level for him. So, Suzuki, he was the one I was most interested to see, like, where did it go? Because there's no doubt on the pitch, he is one of the best players in any position, I think, in the J-League this season. It's just the off the ball, off the field antics. Earlier I compared him a bit to Neymar, and he almost has to sort of channel that, because it's like, what is your biggest strength can also be your biggest weakness. That fire and anger that's burning inside him, if he can just channel it in the right way, like The Sagan Tosu 4-4 is the classic example. At 3-0 down at home, no amount of antics and shouting and screaming is going to help. Just getting down and playing well. And I think he was credited with 2 assists, but he basically set up 3 goals. And apparently he did an interview really well after the game. And then there's rumours he'd been talking to Moriyasu, and things seemed to be lifting. And then the FC Tokyo game, it sounds like a minor thing, doesn't it? Throwing a bottle, but it's a yellow card. Moriyasu sees that. He thinks at the World Cup, they're just going to target him. You're going to get to the third game, he's going to be out suspended, or he's going to get a red card. He's almost in a way, he's kind of a ticking time bomb, but he needs to be that in a good way. I don't know how to change him. I've never met him as a person, but yeah, I'm more than happy to go along with what the patrons have said. If they've gone for the on-field stuff and choose to forget the off-field stuff. So I think, yeah, Suzuki and Ueda for me, with, again, an honourable mention for Utaka, who's, again, as Sam said with Matthias, if it wasn't for Utaka's goals, Kyoto would be in the relegation zone. So what about you, Ben? Are you going to rubber stamp that, or are you going to go off your own way?
No, I think, yeah, it has to be the top two for Antlers. I think, yeah, Utaka's a bit of a prisoner of what have you done for me lately. Yeah, it was 8 goals in the first 11 games of the season, and he's not scored in the last 5. And obviously, yeah, the patrons might have taken that into consideration. Obviously, his work rate hasn't slipped at all. He just, has been unlucky at times and hasn't been able to get on the end of things from his teammates, but he doesn't show any sign of a slowing down, does he, Utaka? So I'm sure he'll be in the mix for our team of the season as a whole. But the Kashima front two have won the day, although as we all know, yeah, Suzuki is not winning any real popularity contests. And Ralph commented that he couldn't in good conscience select Suzuki. He certainly played very well, but at the same time, with proper refereeing, he rarely should have survived till half time before getting sent off. Ralph's well and truly made his thoughts clear there. Obviously, Anderson Lopez and Spitgate is still on a number of people's minds, and Daniel H's comment on Lopez is very straightforward and straight to the point. After Spitgate, Lopez ain't getting nothing from me. And yes, indeed, nil votes for Lopez. While Pudini again commented on a number of our polls, we really appreciate that. Pudini, he says he can't really look past the Antlers duo that we have rubber stamped here, but Hosoya has been a very pleasant surprise. And that is absolutely correct, Pudini. He's been terrific. And our shortlist put together these 5 names, and with apologies to Shuto Machino, who has also scored 6 goals so far this season. Yes, we basically selected the top scorers in J1. Ueda leads the way with 10, Utaka 8, Lopez 7, and then Suzuki, Hosoya, and Shuto Machino all have 6 goals through 16 rounds of the season. Of course, the list we put together is proven to be the top scorers in the league so far this season, guys. But some of the names that are missing obviously would have raised some eyebrows at the start of the season. Leandro Damião, the reigning J1 player of the season and Golden Boot winner, joint Golden Boot winner, I should add. And of course, Kasper Juncker from Urawa were not part of our final shortlist. So Sam, just before we move on and pick a coach for this team of sensational footballers, any centre forwards we've slightly given the cold shoulder here? Should maybe Machino have made this list as well, as he's scored the same number of goals as Suzuki and Hosoya?
Maybe he's a touch unfortunate. I think he's kind of the reverse Utaka in that he's done a lot quite lately, but for the start of the season, there wasn't much coming from Shonan at all as an attacking force, and Machino was part of that. So maybe, he's just at the start of it. If he can continue that into the second half of the season, then, he's a great shout maybe for the later poll. But, at the moment, I just think it's just too little too late, actually, for this poll, unfortunately, for him. Just looking at other potential candidates, and again, they're probably not really ones that were available for this poll, but might be later. And you'd expect at the start of the season, I'd have thought Yoshinori Muto would be in this. Obviously, he had his injury, but I think he's come back and he looks the part. He looks like he could go on a good run for an improved Kobe in the second half of the season. So I think he is one to look out for. But a lot of the kind of big name transfer signings haven't really worked. If you're looking at Lukian, who we'd expected to do a lot more at Avispa, he's not hit the ground running. I don't know if he's still a big name, but Sugimoto, likewise, he has not done too much. And Reds haven't quite got enough so far out of their players. I mean, Juncker had that one fantastic game, but yeah, he's not really pulled up too many trees otherwise. And Schalke is likewise. Saka hasn't had the greatest of seasons either. So there are a lot of big names that haven't yet hit the ground running, but easily in the second half of the season. And I put Adam Taggart in that as well. He's just come in for Cerezo. He's got a couple of goals since returning. So there are a lot of really good options for the second half of the season. And we could see this forward line, the year shortlist, be completely different by the time we get to October, November.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Leandro Damian was in our team of the half season and team of the season, and he was our player of the season last year, and he's only scored 3 goals this year. So I wouldn't totally rule him out from having a much better second half of the season than first half, and potentially forcing his way in. The other player I wanted to mention, maybe not necessarily a contender here, but I think Yuito Suzuki. I know we had trouble picking out Yuto Suzuki, Yuma Suzuki, Yuito Suzuki, but I think the Shimizu player, I think he doesn't score enough goals. But he is a menace to every team he plays against with his pace and in directness. And I think if he could just add a few more goals, I think it's been rumored as a former Vasco da Gama and Qatar coach Z Ricardo might be coming in. I don't know quite what goes on behind the scenes at Shimizu, but if he could find an attacking coach that really suits him and brings out a few more goals in tandem with Santana or Osei-Hun, then he might be a contender this year or definitely someone to take a look at in the coming years in J-League. How about you, Ben? Is there anyone you would add?
Yeah, I agree with Sam on the Machino point. Yeah, he's early doors. Obviously, Shonan weren't doing anything at all. And yeah, Machino's got a couple of goals in recent weeks. So yeah, it's that would have been, I think too short termism to give him a spot in the shortlist, but I don't know. They're fairly slim pickings when you slice it like that. I mean, yeah, the bigger names that we would have been expecting to be walk up starts for this list have not fired again. Just to go back to FC Tokyo, I mean, Diego Oliveira has been off the boil for pretty much the entire season, so he was never getting anywhere near this list. And whether Takashi Usami, if he'd stayed fit, whether he would have been in our attacking midfield / winger position or the centre forward position, Johnny, unfortunately that became impossible once he got injured. So I think our list was not the biggest, and I think that we went for quality over quantity. And to some people's surprise, the Kashima front two have won the day, and by a significant margin according to our patrons. And we've been unanimous in our praise for them as well. So that's it then. We've made our way through and selected our J1 team of the half season. So I'll read this off. Now, guys, Murakami from Fukuoka is our goalkeeper. Ryuta Koike from Yokohama F. Marinos is the right back. Our center backs are Alex Schultz from Urawa and Tsukasa Shiotani from Hiroshima. Ryosuke Yamanaka from Cerezo Osaka is our left back. And then, we can either go 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. So as I've got it written down, we've got Yuta Higuchi and Mateus Savio in central midfield with Mateus on one flank and Makoto Mitsuta from Hiroshima on the other. But we could slip Mitsuta back into a midfield three and play Mateus up top with ISA Wada and Yuma Suzuki. Whichever way you slice it, that's a pretty tasty looking lineup. So, okay, let's pick a coach from the first half of the season to steer this team of this team of all stars into battle against the aliens. Sam, you had you suggested the short list of three that Johnny and I agreed with wholeheartedly. So why don't you run us through them and then give us your pick?
I've not gone with any of the top three at the moment. I've gone with kind of managers who were taking on teams that were expected to be quite towards the bottom end of the table and have done incredible jobs so far this season. I've got Nelsinho at Kashua, almost everyone that I could think of had Kashua to be relegated. They're currently fourth in the table. It's an incredible job from a manager I thought was going quite stale last season. I didn't really see that he was the man to take Kashua forward, but I mean, he's done incredibly to do so far. I've got Kento Kawai, who again, Tosu were ravaged in the winter. He's managed to form a team that has been competitive, still playing a very good progressive brand of football, and he has done absolute wonders to have Tosu up into eighth with the players at his disposal. And also my kind of new love interest at Hiroshima in Michael Skibber, who has taken them from relegation, bottom of the table clash with Shonan. He's taken them on since then. They have played so well. They've transformed that team with very little resources to do so. I think they have been absolutely magnificent. So those three were my picks for the three. You both agreed with them. Johnny, out of the three, which one did you plump for?
All are very good choices, but I think I'd go for Skibber simply because, as you said, after five games, they were in the bottom of the table clash. And now, I mean, no one in the league is averaging 2 points a game. If Hiroshima win their game in hand, they're only 4 points off the top of the league. I don't want to put the curse on Hiroshima, but it's not out of the question that they could win the league this year, which would be a phenomenal achievement. And, you know, Gamba have brought in their own new coach in Katanasaka, and Hiroshima brought in Skibber. But if it was so easy to bring in, like, you know, a coach that's just going to turn your team around, everyone would do it. So Hiroshima have obviously deserve a lot of credit for bringing him in. He's got a plan. He's got it over. He's got the players believing and doing it. So while, like, Nelsinho, again, has done a great job, because I think you and I were ready to read him the last rites at this time last year. He's fixed a lot of the issues. He's got the formation sorted, the starting 11, developing youngsters. Kawhi, I agree with everything you said. He's got this kind of team of, I think misfits is a bit of an insult, but you know what I mean. They're working harder than everyone else, and they're up in the top half of the league, embarrassing a lot of teams. So they're leaving the likes of Nagoya, Gamba, Urawa, Shimizu, Kobe, all in their wake. It's phenomenal what he's doing. But yeah, I think for me, what Skibber has done in such a short space of time, because he's a coach and he was technically in charge for the start of the season, I think the Yonich rule doesn't apply to him. So I would go for Skibber. How about you, Ben?
Ooh, okay, Johnny. Well, Sam, I noticed you didn't actually make a pick. yeah, okay. So we'll see what you think, and if you, you're going to be the casting vote, or whether we're going to split the vote three ways, because I'm going to go for Nelsinho. You could have told me a million different things would have happened this season, and if you had told me Kashua would be fourth at the halfway stage, that is the least believable thing you could have told me. This has absolutely flummoxed me from match day one onwards, and it's obviously not completely down to Nelsinho, but it's what his team have done is frankly unbelievable. So I completely take all the points on Skibber, and the turnaround since he's entered the country and actually been able to get to work on his team has been terrific. They've literally jumped up 10 spots in the table, and Kawhi, what he's done with the resources that the Tosu have to work with, and they just continue to defy expectations. So the fact that he's come in and just carried on the good work that the previous managers have done is a credit to him. But for me, it's the story of the first half of the season basically is Kashua being fourth, and we weren't able to get Koga and Hosoya into our team, so I'll have Nelsinho steering it.
Yeah, I make very compelling arguments. You notice my ploy to move this along because I wasn't really certain and I wanted a little bit more time to think. And also I'd like a little bit of control as well because I've been outvoted in so many of these. So, but it's put me in a horrible position because, yeah, you make a very valid point about Nelsinho, and it's such a difficult one. I just thought, yeah, Kenta Kawhi, I think he's third. I think he's done very, very well, but maybe it's just edged out by these. And you said earlier that we didn't give Johnny too much last year, and as he's voting with my new favorite project at Skibber at Hiroshima, I am going to still side with Johnny and go with Michael Skibber. But it is a very difficult decision, and you make a compelling point for Nelsinho, which is absolutely right, and that he and I have done an incredible job. But from Hiroshima being like 17th, and that squad looked like it was going absolutely nowhere, and has done for so many years, and the transformation in such a little time has been absolutely incredible. So I just about give it to Michael Skibber, with apologies to you, Ben.
No, perfectly fair enough. We both said, we didn't give Johnny too many last year, so that's absolutely fair enough, and well deserved for Michael Skibber to take the reins of this team, our J1 team of the half season. So, we've nudged 2 hours, and I'm sure you weren't expecting anything less from us, listeners. It's a long international break, and you don't have anything else to do in the meantime. So, you might as well listen to a two-hour episode of J-Talk, hey? And, we hope it was very entertaining. I'd like to thank our patrons, all of those who voted in these polls, and we thought about putting a poll out for manager of the half season as well, but we figured that the patrons are probably a bit tired after 7 polls in 6 days or whatever it was, so we decided to sort out the coach amongst ourselves. But thanks to all our patrons for voting. Thanks to Andre, our newest patron, who has come on board in the past week. And most especially, thanks to you, Johnny, for joining us again. As I said at the intro with Sam, it's one of our favorite episodes to do every year. And we couldn't think of anyone better to join us for it. Fantastic knowledge of the league as a whole, and we really appreciate your input and your thoughts, and you can go away happy. You've had a few wins in this one.
Thanks again, but both of you, for having me on. I really enjoyed it. I think this is 3 times we've done it now. I really enjoy it, and obviously Gamba have a few weeks break, so I've been enjoying that, and this has been a good project for me to get my teeth stuck into. So now I think on Wednesday I'm going to try and buy my summer expo uniform, which looks quite nice, and this week I hear back if I get my tickets from the Gamba Paris Saint-Germain game, so I might be able to see the likes of Neymar up close, so fingers crossed for that. But thanks again for having me, and I hope everyone enjoyed the episode.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks as always, Johnny. And yes, we look forward to hearing from you again soon. I'm sure the Extra Time boys will be in touch as well about an appearance on that podcast soon as well. All right, Sam. So absolutely terrific stuff. And well done holding your big chip back until the final selection of the team. And well done. So you've won the day at the end there. And fantastic episode as always. And lots of fun. And thanks to the patrons again for voting. And we'll have to sort out what we're going to do next week with Japan obviously in action against Ghana, and then either Chile or Tunisia. But we'll thank everybody for their time on this episode, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for everyone for voting and all these polls, and Johnny for making some time on this Monday night. I thought it was going to go a lot worse when you started by throwing me under the bus for Murakami and then voting against me constantly, so I was worried that there's a letter with wishing me well in my future endeavours coming in the post. But hopefully I'm still here next week to discuss the Japanese national team, and maybe a bit of the Levain Cup, because we haven't done that in a while, so that might be interesting. There was the first legs were played last weekend. There were a few absolute hammerings in that, but maybe we'll get into that after the second legs next weekend.
That's right. You keep mentioning the Levain Cup to me, and I keep forgetting about it. But we'll have to give that some coverage in next week. And don't worry, you're still well and truly gainfully employed. We just got to keep you on your toes every now and then. Another terrific episode. Thanks again to Johnny for all of his time, both in the preparation of this episode and then in the recording as well. Absolutely terrific, as always, from him. Once again, thanks to all our patrons for voting and for their ongoing support. And thanks to you listeners for listening wherever you are. We'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now.
The J Talk Podcast.